This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, May 6th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Snapbackers try to stem cuts. Trump to meet with Canada's Prime Minister and NIOSH's employees booted. USDA nominees advance. The Senate Agriculture Committee voted along party lines last night to send two USDA nominations to the Senate floor. Stephen Vaden to be Deputy Ag Secretary and Tyler Clarkson to be USDA General Counsel. The panel voted 12-11 to approve them. The committee's ranking Democrat, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, said, "We do have concerns about these nominees' past records, so we will not be voting for them." Vaden served as General Counsel during the first Trump administration. Clarkson was Deputy General Counsel. Now keep in mind, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins remains the lone official at USDA who has been confirmed by the Senate. SNAP advocates gear up for Capitol Hill fight. Anti-hunger groups see this week as their final chance to persuade Republicans to block steep cuts in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program that some argue would be almost impossible to reverse. The Food Research and Action Center hosted its National Anti-Hunger Policy Conference this week. It leads up to a lobby day and a SNAP rally today. House Agriculture Committee markup on its portion of the budget reconciliation bill was originally scheduled for this week. It's now expected next week. The panel's Republicans are still split on how to find over $230 billion in spending reductions. Anti-hunger groups are concerned by proposals to toughen SNAP work requirements, a potential state cost-share model for the program, and restrictions to the Thrifty Food Plan. Now keep in mind, some Republicans are not on board with the cost-share proposal. Representative Derek Van Orden, a Wisconsin Republican, instead proposed basing state cost-share on each state's error rates. For example, Wisconsin had a 4.74 SNAP error rate in 2023. Under his proposal, the state would be responsible for covering the same percentage of the program. Other states, including many red states, have significantly higher error rates. Alaska in particular has drawn attention from lawmakers for a 60.37 error rate in 2023. Shifting costs to states would make a bad thing worse, said Salome Botti, SNAP director at FRAC. He said this would impact services, which Republicans could try to use as justification for additional cuts down the road. In the meantime, House Agriculture Ranking Member Angie Craig of Minnesota echoing this sentiment in her address to the anti-hunger advocates yesterday morning. She said she's been a disconnect between what Republican colleagues will say privately versus publicly on Medicaid and SNAP cuts, but more recently those members are starting to draw red lines. Craig said, quote, "I've seen a whole lot of my colleagues draw red lines and just jump in the red pool after or get their arm twisted to support bad policy anyway. So I sure hope my colleagues march up to these lines that they're willing to hold the line." By the way, House Ag Republicans will be meeting this morning talking about their plans for meeting their target spending cut. Grocers report highlights SNAP impact on local economies. A new analysis from the National Grocers Association found that SNAP generated over $4.5 billion in federal, state, and local tax receipts in 2025. The program supports about 388,000 jobs at grocery stores, warehouses, trucking companies, farms, and more. This contributes over $20 billion in direct wages. According to NGA's report, which came out this morning, SNAP is not just food assistance for families. It's an economic engine that bolstered jobs on Main Street, said Stephanie Johnson, NGA's group vice president for government relations, in a statement. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Ed says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. NIOSH employees get RIF notices. The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health saw another round of layoffs on Friday, affecting most of the staff who had not already been let go. Two sources with knowledge of the cuts told AgriPulse. Employees who reach occupational hazards associated with fishing were among those in the second wave, as well as some who helped distribute funding to external agriculture safety and health centers, according to one former NIOSH employee. Trump and Carney to meet amid tense U.S.-Canada relations. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney is in Washington today for his first in-person meeting with President Trump since winning the Canadian election last week. Carney's office said the two would discuss trade and the future of the country's economic and security relationship. The meeting comes against a backdrop of 25% U.S. tariffs on imports from Canada not covered by a North American trade deal, reduced to 10% on energy products and potash. On the campaign trail, Carney, a former central banker, argued that the era of deepening U.S.-Canada integration is over, a tragedy, he called it. Take note, Trump set the tone for the discussion in his Sunday appearance on NBC's Meet the Press. We don't need their cars. We don't need their lumber. We don't need their energy. We don't need anything, Trump said. We do very little business with Canada. Canada, however, has consistently been one of the top two trading partners for the United States. That's according to the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative. So far in 2025, it's also been the top destination for U.S. exports, which have totaled $55.7 billion. Lutnick's take. Yesterday, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick poured cold water over a possible deal to lift the Canadian tariffs. He told Fox Business, quote, it's very complex. Lutnick added it would be a fascinating meeting between the two leaders, but he said he doesn't see how it works out so perfectly. Tyson sees cattle production expanding. Tight cattle supplies and strong cattle prices continue to weigh on meatpacking giant Tyson Foods, but the company believes producers are starting to rebuild their herds. Tyson's beef and pork segments posted operating income losses of $258 million and $195 million, respectively, for the latest quarter. Tyson President and CEO Donnie King said it was, quote, the most challenging beef environment we've ever seen. Brady Stewart, who oversees the company's beef and pork business, sees signs the cattle market is easing. He told analysts on the company's quarterly earnings call, quote, if we're not at the bottom relative to cattle inventories, we can definitely see it from here. He noted that beef cow slaughter numbers have dropped sharply. Well, here's today's final word. I'm actually so excited and I'm so encouraged that the conversations that I've had, which I obviously can't talk about here, have been incredibly encouraging with our partners around the world. That's Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins talking to reporters outside the White House yesterday about trade deals. She said that when President Donald Trump sees 100 countries are, quote, coming to the table, he's absolutely right. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, May 6th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Allen.